In the past, it was this church's practice each spring to celebrate with a ritual blessing. And it speaks to the turbulence of the last few years that we've experienced, that it has been 5 years since we last did this blessing. So today, we return to a practice that calls us back to the interconnectedness between ourselves and the earth, between ourselves and natural cycles, and remind us that we are made of the same things that inspire within us such awe. And they fill us with the mystery, things like stardust and energy and space, water, air, and life. So the blessing today is a touch of clay and water that'll be smudged on your forehead or your hand, because it is, as the ancient scriptures say, dust thou art, and to dust thou wilt return. So in a moment, you'll be invited to come forward to in contemplative silence and receive this blessing. We'll form two lines, and you can come down these and aisles and go up the center. And when you get to the minister, state your preference on where you'd like to be to receive your blessing. So your forehead, the palm of your hand, or the back of your hand. So palm, back, forehead. And if you're unable to travel easily, but would like to receive the blessing, just raise your hand and one of us will come to you and give you a blessing. And if you would prefer to stay in your seat and not participate in the blessing at all, that is okay too. Just use it as a time to meditate. It is the clay of the earth, that beautiful, from which beautiful blue flowers grow every spring that go as far as the eye can see. It is from the clay of the earth that our beloved trees grow. The clay of the earth is the source of all sacred things. Water contains oxygen and is ancient. This water has circled the globe for millions of years. It bathed the first creatures. We wash newborns in water. We touch it to the lips of our elders as they are dying. It reminds us of our place in the order of things. In these times of drought, we see rain as a divine gift, blessing and healing the land and its people. May we live with mindfulness and find ourselves in the presence of great beauty and peace. May we hear the earth speaking our names in the wind, and rainfall, and in birdsong. May we see our reflection in all things. Us people, small beings in this vast and astonishing world, may we be renewed as the earth offers itself to us. Let's bless each other. On your hand, Angela, receive this blessing in your body, mind, and spirit. Forehead, I think.
Bob, receive this blessing on your body, mind, and spirit.
Thank you. You're invited to come forward and receive a blessing. When we are at our best as a congregation, we know that we always have people to share our joys with, and we always have people to help carry our burdens. This morning, let's take a moment to consider the joys and burdens that we are carrying, and at the sound of the chime, let's speak them aloud. To these, we add these prayers for our community. We remember Kathy Keller, this church's former bookkeeper, who passed this week. May her loved ones find comfort in their memories of Kathy. And we lift up Philip Lewing Hughes, whose mother passed this week and who has been enduring his own health challenges. May he feel the love and support of this congregation as he mourns and as he heals. And may light perpetual shine upon Philip's mother and Kathy. We pray for Elise Frumkin as she struggles with health concerns. May her healing be quick and comfortable. And we pray for the victims of the homophobic attack at St. John's thrift store this week. May all of us be safe. All these and all our joys and burdens, we lift up to the great powers of healing and renewal and celebration, known by many names. Let's pray with the words of Reverend Sarah Eileen Lowell. Spirit of life and love, in this time of uncertainty, of fear and angst, our nation holds its collective breath. In this time when rhetoric blusters about and words are used as weapons, our nation tenses its fists, it clenches its fists, it tightens its shoulders, squeezes its eyes shut as if preparing for a fight. May we remember that we are a people of resilience. We have faced uncertainty before, we have weathered storms, we have been consumed by flames, and we have risen like the phoenix from the ashes, and we will again, we the people. May we remember our shared humanity, our universal kinship, our interdependence as we unclench our fists and breathe together, breathing in love, breathing out peace. May we recognize the spark of the divine inside all of us, even those we're not quite sure about. In this time of uncertainty, we remember the goodwill will go on as we work to move forward together, we the people, seeking that which unites us, with our arms reaching wide for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. For all that, may love prevail. And may we place love at the center of all that we do. Amen, and blessed be, and peace be with you.
she let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of the fear. She let go of the judgments. She let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around her head. And she let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all the right reasons. Wholly and completely, without hesitation or worry, she just let go. She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all of the memories that held her back. She let go of all the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all of the calculations about how to do it just right. She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal about it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go. She didn't analyze whether she should let go. She didn't call her friends to discuss the matter. She didn't do a 5-step spiritual mind treatment. She didn't call the prayer line. She didn't utter one word. She just let go. No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing. Like a leaf falling from a tree, she just let go. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good, and it wasn't bad. It was just what it was, and it is just that. In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her, and the sun and the moon shown forevermore.
Released in the still of the night from the prison of shame and the burden of time, all comes to rest in the sheltering dark. Rhythm of breath deep in the heart, sweet release, sweet. I lay me down night on in sleep. Can I hear the song of what I've forgotten, where I belong? Sweet release, sweet release. By setting it free, and so I surrender a blessed relief. Spirit is moving on the face of the deep. The river of dreams will carry me home when I wake. I'm not alone.
How we change. How we change. It's the title of this sermon. Well, I'm going to start with the bad news. We can't change other people. So if you saw this sermon title and thought, great, we've been working on changing my spouse, you're out of luck. Usually when one person tries to change another, the other person, who is the way they are for a reason, does not appreciate that very much. We do influence each other, though. If you're feeling a certain kind of peace in you right now from the service so far, then you've got a touch of that. But you've come in ready for it. We haven't made you feel that way. There's a saying in Spanish, dime con quién andas y te diré quién eres. Tell me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. A study from the Pew Research Center showed that people who are actively engaged in a religious congregation tend to be happier and more civically engaged than people who are not. They're more likely to vote and more likely to volunteer in organizations beyond the congregation. They are less likely to smoke or drink than the general population. The research didn't get into why these things are correlated, and the researchers and scientific-minded folks here are already thinking correlation does not equal causation, and they are correct. But we do know that humans are social creatures who influence one another through culture and group norms. And since I know y'all don't do everything I say, I have to assume you're influencing each other. But that influence only works if a person wants it to. They decide to change. The person we have the most influence over is ourselves. We have the most influence over ourselves. And when we change ourselves, it might influence others, and they might change, or maybe not, right? What would you like to work on changing about yourself? Maybe you'd like to be more compassionate or let go of a bad habit of some sort. Maybe you'd like to be more assertive or act with more courage. Maybe you'd like to express your emotions more or do less masking. You wish others knew you instead of that social sort of a mask, not a physical mask, but a social one that we put on to hide parts of ourselves. Maybe you want to take charge of your life. Maybe you're tired of feeling helpless. Change occurs when we have the desire, the ability, the reasons, the commitment, and the readiness. Desire. We want to. We want to change, and it isn't because someone else wants us to, or at least not only for that. Ability. We have the power to. There are some things we can't change, like I am just never going to be 5'1". It's not going to happen, right? It has to be something that we can control. Reasons. Reasons are linked with desire, but they're not the same, right? Because we can have a lot of good reasons for changing, but if we don't actually want to, probably not going to get very far. Commitment. We got to see it through, all the way through. And readiness. Sometimes it turns out we didn't have those other things yet after all, or it feels too hard. Maybe we're just not ready yet. Or maybe we change a little, and then later when we are more ready, we change more. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. First, James Doty. James Doty had it rough as a kid. His father was an alcoholic. His mother was extremely depressed, to the point of not being able to function much as a parent. James faced food insecurity and unstable housing. He got in fights. After one of his teeth was knocked out and his parents couldn't afford to fix it, he tried to never smile anymore. In the summer of 1968, James wandered into a magic shop. He was looking for a plastic thumb. Why not, right? He was looking for a plastic thumb. That day, the shop owner's mother just happened to be there. She was in town visiting. Ruth had big Earth Mother vibes. She had a radiant smile and flowing gray hair, and she was wearing a muumuu. This was the 60s, remember, so those were very fashionable. And they're back again now, by the way. Ruth and James got into a conversation about why magic tricks work. She told him, "The brain, as busy as it can be, is actually very lazy. That this is why magic tricks work." And she said, yes, magic works because people are so easily distracted. But she said they're not really distracted by hand gestures. Most people who are watching a magic show aren't really there watching the magic show. They're regretting something they did yesterday, or they're worrying about something that might happen tomorrow. So they're not really at the magic show to begin with. So how could they see the plastic thumb at all? I don't know what Ruth's background was, but her words sound a lot like the teachings of Buddhism. And the 1960s are the decade when American Zen Buddhism was a rapidly growing movement. Up until then, James had felt like a passenger in his life, not in control. He felt like a leaf blowing by an ill wind, he says. I had no control over anything. And events would happen, and I couldn't do anything about them. I felt, and I think it was, in fact, reality that at that point, when I met her, I had limited to no possibilities. Ruth offered to teach him meditation techniques over the next several weeks that she was going to be in town. And James agreed. Why not? Ruth taught him to use body relaxation techniques to calm his mind. We do those here most Sundays during our meditation time. Ruth taught him to practice compassion toward himself and toward others, and to visualize what he wanted and to set intentions. James started to see his life through new eyes, which caused him to start responding differently to it, which changed his path. Eventually, he ended up going to college, and then later he made his way to medical school. And James Doty became a brain surgeon. He's now a clinical professor of neurosurgery at Stanford University. He also co-founded and directs Stanford's Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education. His memoir is called Into the Magic Shop, A Neurosurgeon's Quest to Discover the Mysteries of the Brain and the Secrets of the Heart. So, going back to the things I started with, James had a desire and he had reasons to change. He was miserable and he felt hopeless. Ruth offered to help him with the ability to do so by changing his mindset. He made a commitment when he agreed to meet with her for those 6 weeks and he followed through. And over time, his new ability helped him to be ready to seek out the opportunities that he wanted instead of feeling helpless or like a passenger in life. One thing neuroscience has demonstrated is that brains change. All throughout our lives, they have a quality called plasticity. And brains can change for the worse, as when trauma rewires us, but they can change for the better, like when we heal from trauma, or when we learn a new skill, or when we develop intentions and practices that lead us toward where we want to go, how we want to change, and who we want to become. What we practice, we become. That's another one of the ways we change. James Doty's story involves him changing his brain through those new practices that he learned from Ruth. And I'm reminded here of a saying that I've heard from some religious scholar about, if you make a small change, you can wind up in a radically different direction, right? If you're moving forward. So right now, it doesn't take very much to actually get us somewhere different than where we would have been. Another way that people change is when we grow more fully into who we are. We can become more aligned, more integrated, so that the self we wear on the outside matches the self on the inside. That has to do with those social masks I was talking about in part. Or it can be that a self we were afraid to show or that it wasn't possible to show before finally gets to shine. Next story, Cecilia Gentili. Cecilia grew up in the small town of Galvez in Argentina. By the time she began elementary school, she knew that although everyone around her referred to her as a boy, she was actually a girl. Although Cecilia was a very young child, and although she didn't know other people like her yet, she had no doubt about who she was. She just knew. Other people could also tell that she was different. In the second week of school, when she'd been using the girls' restroom, her teacher did not accuse her of trying to cause trouble. Instead, Cecilia was called into the principal's office, where a psychologist, a psychiatrist, the teacher, and her mother had all gathered. They pointed to some anatomical charts on the wall, and then they told her that she had to choose which bathroom to use based on a part of her no one else would see, not on who she was. She knew she had to go along with the adults or face trouble. So she went along as much as she could. Luckily, there was one person who did not expect her to hide who she was, Cecilia's grandmother, Abu, whom Cecilia loved. Abu would let Cecilia come over and wear her jewelry and clothes, even outside of the house. She loved and accepted Cecilia, and Abu stood up for her. Cecilia would never forget that. Her whole life. It meant the world to her. Cecilia was a master of survival. She was quick-witted and quick to read people. She was a keen observer of human nature and of the culture that tried to contain and punish her for being different. But there was no place for her trans self in Galvez. There was no work available beyond sex work due to the prejudices of those around her, and that wasn't safe. She couldn't stay. So Cecilia left Argentina for the United States. It was a brutal transition. Here she was not only trans, but undocumented. She was arrested and incarcerated, and I'm not gonna go into that. It's too awful, and it's not the point. The part of her story that I wanna lift up is what comes next. After she got out, she went to The Center, a community hub for LGBTQ people in New York City. There, mentors showed her how to write a resume. With that, she got a job at a community health center as an HIV peer navigator. Then she moved up. She became the trans health program coordinator. She managed a clinic that started out with 4 patients and grew to 500. She was excellent at her work. She was smart, passionate, and dedicated to her patients' welfare. She developed skills for policy work, too. Cecilia became the managing policy director of an advocacy organization. She got laws passed to protect trans people and got laws repealed that targeted trans people. She was one of 2 lead plaintiffs in a successful lawsuit against the Trump administration. She wrote and performed in 2 one-woman plays, and she wrote a book, her memoir, called Faltas. Her memoir is brilliant, gorgeous, painful, and funny. One of the best I've read. Cecilia's story is one of change. The change isn't a gender transition. She knew who she was from the beginning. It's a story about becoming more herself. It's a story about moving from hiding and suppressing and trying to be invisible because she had to letting her light shine and using her power, finding her power and using it, and loving. By the time Cecilia died last year, she had become like a mom to hundreds and hundreds of gay and trans people. At her funeral, they called her their mother. Dime con quién andas y te diré quién eres. How about dime a quién quieres y te diré quién eres. Tell me who you love and I'll tell you who you are. I want to tell you one more thing about Cecilia Gentile because it connects with something that was in the news this week that I think it's important to talk about. Her funeral was held at the notoriously conservative St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. The priests there didn't realize who she was until the service was already underway. 1,000 people filled the cathedral to honor her in characteristically queer ways and to pray for transgender rights. This was back in February. There are some queer welcoming Catholic parishes in New York City, but this one is not one of those. That cathedral later held a mass of reparation to atone for Cecilia's funeral. They felt that it was that sinful to have remembered her there. In this week's news, the Vatican issued a 20-page declaration called Infinite Dignity. I read the whole thing. It states, among other things, that being transgender diminishes a person's dignity and is a sin. It asserts that there are only 2 biological sexes and only 2 genders. And then, even though the document acknowledges that gender is sociocultural, which means humans have made it up, it states that gender cannot be separated from biological sex. They cite the creation story in Genesis as proof. Honoring religious diversity is a huge value of First Unitarian Church. I'm standing in front of an interfaith mural, and I'm aware all the time that everything I say in this pulpit is against that backdrop. So I'm going to choose my words really carefully when I say, shame on them for that. I don't say that lightly, and I'll tell you why. First, their explanation ignores that there are many things not listed in Genesis that do obviously exist. Genesis names day and night, but not dawn, not dusk. It names water and land, but not marshes or wetlands. It names male and female creatures, but not creatures that are both, or that begin as one and turn into another, which is a normal thing in nature, There are many species that have this characteristic. Genesis speaks of male and female people, which is often taken to mean exclusively male or female people. Yet no one denies the existence of intersex people, not even the Vatican. The Vatican refers to intersex as a deformity, and it supports surgeries to change those people to make them conform to a binary gender. About 1.7% of humans are intersex. That's about the same number of people who are redheads. They're not calling for scalp transplants. The Vatican is very committed to binary gender, to the point of erasing any natural variation of that among humans. The Vatican also describes transgender as a new ideology in this document, much as the far right does here in the US. And that is not true either. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Gender diversity did not arrive with 21st century gender theory. Ancient writings refer to gender diversity. The Hebrew sacred texts refer to 6 different genders, for example. Those texts also refer back to Genesis, because even Genesis is not as clear as the Vatican says it is in its original Hebrew language. So the Vatican is doing an intentionally selective reading of Scripture. They are ignoring science, history, and reason, and they are continuing to stigmatize and harm transgender and gay people in that. It's not just harmful to Catholics, though, and that is why I'm talking about it here. It's harmful to others who hear that message, too. And it's harmful to people who grow up in Catholic contexts that marginalize them, like Cecilia Gentile. This kind of thing is why the far right has seized on transgender people as a target of discrimination. It's why there are so many of them fleeing hate states now. They now meet the criteria of internally displaced people according to the United Nations. It's why Heather Vickery came out last Sunday from Boston to tell us about what the UU Service Committee, a human rights organization, is doing in response. And if you missed her sermon, you can find it on our website. She got a standing ovation at the 11 o'clock service. Her message was a really important one. Discrimination ends lives. Love saves them. I am so glad that Cecilia Gentile was able to become more herself, that she bloomed. Many of us can relate to a process of becoming more ourselves or to the yearning to do so. And that is holy work, this blossoming of ourselves. The belief that transformation, that change is possible, is built into our faith. It's part of Unitarian Universalism. Ours is a tradition that welcomes change. Our whole theology and our whole identity have changed since the 1700s. We honor diverse paths to truth and to the holy. And Unitarian Universalism honors your unique path. While holding you in our love and offering wisdom from generations and from tradition before us, we believe that life is growth and transformation. We believe in your growth and transformation. So may all of that growth and transformation in your life flow from who you are. May it flow from your soul and bring you more into harmony with love and with the divine. May it be so.
I am amazed at this spring, this conflagration of green fires lit on the soil of the earth, this blaze of growing and sparks that puff in wild gyration, faces of people streaming across my gaze. These are a few lines from the poem, The Enkindled Spring. We enjoy the many gifts and privileges of this world. The offering is one way we can give back in gratitude. Our Change for the Future partner this quarter is United Voices for Newcomer Rights. This organization works in partnership with newcomers, empowering them to cultivate educational, economic, cultural, social, physical, and mental health resources. You may mark a pew envelope CFF for Change for the Future, or place coins in the basket to benefit this organization. We will now gratefully receive the offering.
What you gonna do with the 36 cents sticky with coke on the floorboard, when a woman on the streets is huddled in the cold on a sidewalk vent trying to keep warm? Do you call her over, hand her the change, ask her a story, ask her her name? Or do you tell yourself, you're just a fool to believe you can change the world. You're just a fool to believe you can change the world. Oh, what you gonna do when you're watching TV? An ad comes on, yeah, you know the kind. Flashing up the pictures of a child in need. For a dime a day, you could save a life. Do you call the number, reach out your hand, change the channel, call it a scam? Or do you tell yourself, you're just a fool, just to be able to change the world? You're just a fool to believe you can change the world. Oh, the smallest thing can make all the difference. Love is alive, don't listen to them when they say, you're just a fool to believe you can change the world. And the world's so big it can break your heart. You just wanna help, not sure where to start. You close your eyes and you send up a prayer into the dark. You're just a fool to believe you can change the world. Don't listen to them when they say, you're just a fool to believe you can change the world. The smallest thing can make all the difference. Love is alive. Don't listen to them when they say, you're just a fool to believe you can change the world.
These generous gifts are received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Unitarian and Newcomer Voices. We have announcements. Mm-hmm.
Want to know a little more about, is this on?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't hear myself on the speaker. Want to know a little more about the church's history or what goes on in all these other buildings? Meet in the sanctuary, that's here, 12:15 for a 45-minute guided tour led by Christine Robinson and helpers. Whether you're new or you've been around forever, you're likely to learn something new and meet a few new people in the process.
And we want to invite everyone to a transgender cultural fluency training with Adrian Lawyer of the Transgender Resource Center today, this day at 12:15. It's in Memorial Hall. Participants will gain a better understanding of what it means to be transgender, clarify common misconceptions about trans folks, become familiar with the challenges they face, and learn ways to be a strong and engaged advocate. And I gotta say, any presentation by Adrian Lawyer is worth seeing. He's tremendous at what he does. And in fact, there's even more. In 2 weeks, on April 28th, Adrian will be back for Transgender 201. If today is 101, this is 201. Of a very brief review about assigned sex, gender, sexual orientation, and then a deeper dive into non-binary entities, intersectionality, and how to be a good ally, how to be a good ally. And that is 12:15 at Memorial Hall on April 28th. So today and then 2 weeks from today, great, great, great presentations.
Also, this is your last chance for tickets. The Boston-based Sol Eis Canto returns to Unitarian Universalist Albuquerque this Saturday, April 20th. This concert benefits our ESL and after-school tutoring programs. Tickets will be available at the door, or you can visit our giving page online where there are links for three tiers of tickets, full price, sliding scale, and donor level. Or you can scan the QR code in your order of service and purchase today. Also, Peggy Roberts and Jenny Johns will be in the social hall selling tickets after the service.
Right on. Typically, we offer a discussion question for folks to chew on after the service. Today, I think the question will be, this is rather obvious, but think about a time that you changed and what things helped you change. What things or people helped you change when you had an important change in your life? If you're a visitor here, we're so glad that you're here. We're delighted that you're here. There's coffee in the social hall. There's a welcome table. We would like you to join us. Also, we had 68 folks join us on Zoom today as well, so you're part of a much larger congregation. Hi there. Right on. And I invite everyone to rise and embody your spirit for our peace blessing. One hand on your heart, other hand reaching out to your companions on the journey. Offer a blessing with your eyes. Blessed be.
Please remain standing to sing hymn 146, Soon the Day Will Arrive. Soon the day will arrive when we will be together, and no longer will we live in fear. And the children will smile with the wandering weather on that day.
Another before we realize today is the day that in ya. I can feel it strong beneath my feet, telling me the stories of a life.